speak to the design implication that you're making right now. While this certainly is looking at, we're getting approval for the exterior of this building, it's not so simple to just leave everything in place on the outside and move around the interiors to make this work, especially of a development as complicated as this with the three different structures in the historic building. So while I understand what you're going for, I think the idea that this would be sold and then changed massively and still meeting all the codes and guidelines is, it's a bit more complicated than maybe we're addressing.
Well, then maybe it's a condition of approval to keep it as studio apartments, but because it says right here in the findings on page 21, developments such as this, affordable senior housing consisting of studio apartments, tend to have minimal apartment turnover and less need for unloading larger furniture. That goes away if it becomes a market, you know, mass. This is a really nice area, so it could be very marketed. These, and I actually like the design of your properties. I'm concerned about this particular modification.
Can we have a couple of minutes?
Yeah, oh yeah, so, I'm asking you to do it now. I understand we've got 14 people signed up to testify, okay. So we could have you come back at the end to see if there's something that could help me be comfortable in approving that adjustment.
I also have some questions.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for clarifying issues or concerns or suspicions about this being a bait and switch. Northwest Housing Alternatives is an absolutely reputable affordable housing developer, and I think it just speaks to the level of kind of anxiety and mistrust in the community, which is sometimes well-founded, but I don't think it is in this case. I am also reluctant to agree to a condition of affordability because I know that you can't secure financing until you are able to build, and that's what this hearing is about. And I think an encumbrance like that would be too restrictive and challenging given the market that we're in right now. But I do agree, if we are making a modification based on this assumption that these are small units and that people won't be, you know, unloading grand pianos and full dining sets, that maybe there is a condition to be set there that if we're going to forego the loading space, that these have to be studio apartments, however many studio apartments you're currently considering. One item came up that you didn't address, and I'm, again, not... No, Lauren's gone, so not sure if I should raise this issue or not, but it is a question for me. It was from the owner... Okay. Oh, from the owner of the converted church across the street, which is a historic property that's been negatively impacted by nearby development in the past. There were two concerns. One, a concern about damaging, I'm sorry, what's the name of the contributing property on the lot? The Prager?
The Buck Prager.
Buck Prager. Any potential damage to that building, as well as damage to that converted church property or other nearby kind of older, more fragile properties. I don't know if there's going to be pile driving on this project. Can you speak to those concerns at all?
I mean, that's a construction.
I mean, is there the possibility? Yes, this is construction. There's always the possibility. I think, you know, we do this for a living. We have extensive experience in historic preservation. There is a lot of work that happens before any tools are brought to the site. We have structural engineers that are on board that have experience with this, and our construction team is Bremmett Construction, who they also have a lot of experience in historic preservation. So certainly we understand what it takes to build next to, in even, historic properties and what precautions to take. It is a much different level of construction, honestly. It takes a longer time. You have to be more deliberate about things. There are certain tools that you can and cannot use just to keep that historic fabric in place.
And point out, we'd have the same concern about the Buck Prager.
Right.
Yeah. Very good. You have 45 more seconds. Do you need it?
We did have a nice conclusion.
Well, sure, if we have the image up. I mean, thank you. Our conclusion really is here, you know, we hesitated to use this slide because the image of our property, our proposed project here, it's not obvious. But because of that, it makes a great point. This is the fabric of the neighborhood. It's unique. It's diverse. Our property fits in, and we're excited to get going as soon as we can. So we thank you for your time today, your considerations. We'd be happy to answer any and all questions.
Thank you. Any further questions for this panel? All right, next up, thank you. We have other opponents who would like to testify 2 minutes each. Sue, how many people do we have signed up?
We have 14.
Very good. Please call the first three.
All right. We have the Landmarks Commissioner, Kristen Miner, Martha McLennan, Brian Carlton. They'll be followed by Paul Falsetto, Doug Klotz, Ian McKenzie.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Mayor, Commissioners. I am Kristen Miner, Chair of the Landmarks Commission, and I was present at all of the proceedings for this project, including the design advice hearings. Ultimately, the Landmarks Commission did vote 5-1 to approve this project.
I'm sorry. I'm going to, Sue, could, number one, the clock isn't running, and number two, can we take the presentation down? One moment. Dick, not on me. That's what I get for asking.
Right. So I wanted to talk about our decision and how we reached it briefly. First off, the commission was unanimous on quite a number of points, and those included support of the changes to the Buck Prager and its adaptation to this residential use. This is a great win. The modifications that were requested and the adjustment, and the style and look of the south building, which is really the addition to the Buck Prager. The one commissioner voted no based on the north building's exterior materials and style. So she believed that the north building did not meet the interest, quality, and composition guideline. And just to kind of paraphrase, she thought that that building mimicked the historic buildings too closely and that its materials and craftsmanship fell short as compared to some of the other historic buildings that it really was trying to look like. Several other commissioners did discuss this but found the guideline to be met. So overall, the majority of commissioners did find the final proposal to meet the guidelines. And I will say that regarding scale and height, that was a unanimous decision. None of the commissioners had concerns overall with the scale and height. And that's important. The historic district does have quite a few disparities in height and in style, as have been discussed here. And these disparities are existing and therefore appropriate. And there are just many instances where volumes such as those three sort of separate look buildings really fit into the morphology of this
Thank
neighborhood.
You. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Martha McLennan. I'm speaking today as a private citizen, former executive director of Northwest Housing Alternatives. So I have some history with this project and the efforts that the agency had undertaken to begin the design process and bring it to the point that you see it here today. I think the issue that I want to comment most upon is the diversity of this district within Portland and how that diversity contributes to the richness of our community. The district includes small buildings, large buildings, old buildings, new buildings, buildings that are serving people of affluence and serving people with lesser incomes. I think that is the thing that makes Portland a great place and makes Northwest Portland a great place. That diversity is its historic character, and taking that character on into the future will strengthen the community as a whole. I think the appellants confuse sameness with compatibility. And I think it's very important to distinguish those two principles. Having a tall building next to a short building, an old building next to a new building, a multifamily building next to a single-family building do not detract from the neighborhood. In fact, they make the tapestry of our community stronger. So I encourage you to uphold the Landmarks Commission, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Brian Carlton. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I am principal of Carlton Hart Architecture. I'm speaking as an interested architect here. And the first thing I'd like to do is applaud the neighborhood and the district association for their welcoming of affordable housing into their neighborhood. I want to acknowledge that. Our firm specializes in affordable housing. We're in front of a lot of angry neighborhood associations throughout the city, and they have been clear from the beginning of this process that they welcome affordable housing. And so I just want to acknowledge that. We do have a disagreement on questions of density and scale, though. And I'd like to read real quickly from the statement of significance that was included in the nomination of the Alphabet District, Historic District, in, to have it included in the National Register. This has been read before, but I really think it's worth repeating. The Historic Alphabet District is further eligible under Criterion C for its expression of early residential architecture in the city of Portland, characterized by buildings of various types, styles, and eras. Indeed, the Historic Alphabet District is unique in Portland for its concentration of early 20th century multifamily structures, many of which were designed and constructed by the city's premier architects and developers. The district's multifamily dwellings are noteworthy for their appearance in areas that retain buildings from its earlier development period. Grand single-family homes sit next to first-class apartment buildings in physical representation of social-cultural transition experienced by one of Portland's oldest neighborhoods. So the two main points are that it is a neighborhood rich in architectural diversity, size, use, and that has been a part of its history throughout. And it's also, the second point is that that introduction of the apartment building is what has led to its social and cultural diversity as well. It was stated earlier that Northwest District and the Alphabet District are the densest neighborhoods in all of Oregon. And that's appropriate. This neighborhood, it's a bedroom community sitting right next to downtown. That's where we should have density. It's a neighborhood made rich by that diversity, both architecturally and socially.
Thank you. Next three, please, Sue.
The next three, please come up. Paul Falsetto, Doug Klotz, Ian McKenzie. They will be followed by Alan Kessler, Leon Porter, Madeline Kovacs.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Paul Falsetto, and I'm the historic preservation consultant to the applicants on this project. And we've been working diligently since 2016 with the BDS staff, Grace and Hillary, on this project because it's one of the most complex projects I've ever been associated with, and I like these sort of projects. So in preservation and architecture, you have three main activities you can do. One is you can restore or rehabilitate a historic building. We're doing that. Two is you do an addition to that building. Incredibly complex. We're doing that. And three is you do a new building in a historic context. We're doing all this simultaneously. The staff and us really had to get into the DNA of the 19 criterion across two guidelines that we have to address. Landmarks Commission put us through our paces, and I have to say that top to bottom in its entirety, this is one of the best historic landmarks commissions I've seen in my 20 years in Portland. And they made us earn their 5-1, which is a near unanimous opinion. The one dissent said that the North Building is too compatible for the district, and we kind of take that as a forehand compliment. Regarding the height of the building, within two blocks, there's five buildings from 2003 to 2017 of five stories or taller that were approved through this very same process. So what we're doing is not an anomaly. It was brought up the 2014 Type 4 hearing that council reviewed and rightfully denied demolition of the Buck Prager building. That proposal brought before council was of a, it, first of all, demolished the Buck Prager, and it created a 4-to-6-story single half-block structure. That's not what we're doing at all. And so to try to relate the two is a little bit confusing at best. What we're doing is actually creating the three building types that I mentioned, and I don't want it to be forgiven that we are doing the near miracle of saving the Buck Prager, restoring its facade elements, and doing a full seismic upgrade. Any questions for me? No, thanks.
Perfect timing. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Doug Klotz. I oppose this appeal and support the project as approved by the Historic Landmarks Commission. The design restores the Buck Prager, as we've heard, and the south addition uses simple massing and window arrangement to relate it to Buck Prager. The north building's materials form a detailed and rich fabric with projecting bays and recesses that mimics many of the historic apartment buildings in the district. This five-story building meets the standard of District 2 guideline compatible with qualities of the district. There have been talk about it being oversized. However, there is a five-story contributing structure, the Worthington Apartments, a mere half block away from the site that establishes the qualities of this immediate neighborhood under Guidelines 2 and 3. Two blocks away, we have the five-story contributing Wickersham Apartments, which sit directly across a 60-foot street right-of-way from two-story Victorian houses, all contributing, I believe. So the north building will also be across a 60-foot right-of-way from two and three-story Victorian houses on Irving Street. Although the Irving Street roadway is 28 feet, the right-of-way is 60 feet, which is the same as all streets in the district. So that determines how far away you are when you're across the street from it. It's the same as all the rest of the streets in the district. The juxtaposition of tall apartment buildings and smaller houses is a characteristic of the district in the context statement, as we've heard twice now. I won't read it a third time. But this building and the siting and the size really are very compatible with the district. And I would say that they go much further toward keeping the character of the district than leaving what we have there, which is two parking lots and the Buck Prager sitting in the middle of it, vacant. It is also significant, of course, that this building will have, or may very well have, 148 units of affordable housing, many for seniors who would benefit from proximity to good Sam Hospital and the services there. So I urge you to vote today to reject this appeal.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Ian McKenzie. I'm an architect, and I'm here to oppose this appeal. From 2013 to January of this year, as a resident of the Northwest District, living at the 1927 Empress Condominiums. Although located just outside of the boundaries of the Historic District, they're a great example of the kind of multifamily housing that makes Northwest the wonderful district that it is. The five-story building was designed by noted architects Clausen and Clausen and has been determined to be eligible for inclusion in the National Register. I believe that Northwest 18th and Hoyt will be a worthy successor to this tradition of multifamily housing, a character-defining feature of the neighbourhood. I was going to read the same quote that Mr. Carlton did from the National Register, but it's important just to bear in mind that this district is listed on the National Register because of the juxtaposition that you have of multifamily mid-rise buildings and lower-rise single-family houses. Indeed, only two blocks to the south is the individually listed Wickersham Condominiums, which rises to 5.5 stories directly across the street from low-rise detached houses. The architects have done a great job of studying the district and drawing influences from its greatest buildings, including the American Apartment Building at Northwest 21st and Johnson. In doing so, they have not only met but exceeded guideline D7, blending into the neighbourhood, which says that new development should incorporate elements of nearby quality buildings, such as building details, massing, proportions, and materials. This building underwent a great deal of scrutiny by the Historic Landmarks Commission, a body that takes their role in historic preservation very seriously. If you vote to uphold their decision, you can be confident that you're approving a building that has already been very carefully reviewed by both city staff and dedicated volunteers. I would urge you to vote yes on this today. Affordable housing in particular faces great challenges in assembling its funding, and that funding can very easily be jeopardised by delay. Voting yes will allow Northwest Housing Alternatives and the architects to quickly move forward to assembling funding, submitting building permits, and ultimately to breaking ground on 148 new affordable homes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please.
Please come up. Alan Kessler, Leon Porter, Madeline Kovacs. They'll be followed by Laura Galina Di Lovato, Julie Garver, Darren Gilbert.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Would you like to go ahead and start, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Happy to. Good afternoon. My name is Madeline Kovacs, and I'm the coordinator of the Portland for Everyone Coalition here in Portland. The 43 members of the coalition urge you to reject the appeal of the block 162 apartments and uphold the decision of the Historic Landmarks Commission. We urge you to support the project that will preserve and seismically retrofit the Buck Prager, fall well within massing and unit limits allowed by the zoning, and offer 148 regulated affordable homes to Portland households that desperately need them. We don't actually believe that it ever makes sense to take all of the social and human context out of any decision that we ever make in the public realm. We must consider that we are in the midst of an affordable housing shortage. Portland does not have enough homes that are affordable to moderate and low-income residents. If bringing online more regulated affordable homes as quickly and efficiently as possible is a concern, and it should be, we urge Portland City Council to approve the project and not add further delay, thereby increasing cost per home. 17 homes and a floor have already been removed from the building. Again, floors allowed under the 5-to-1 FAR allowed by the code and even under the 4-to-1 base code approved for the neighborhood by City Council. And as people have already said earlier here today, the mixture of building types is actually part of what qualifies that district as a historic district in the first place. It's part of the diversity of the district. As a city, if we continue to add delays and costs to every housing project, not to mention unduly burdening nonprofit affordable housing projects, then the overall cost to Portlanders will be tremendous. The inefficiencies add up, and it's the public that pays through public expenditure of time and resources and through rising housing prices. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Leon Porter. I currently live in Sullivan's Gulch, but I lived in the Alphabet District within a few blocks of this site for 15 years until 2016. And I would have been happy to live across the street from this building. I think it will substantially improve the character of its block and enhance the appeal of the immediately surrounding blocks as well. As several speakers have already said, the diversity of the Alphabet District is part of its history, and by adding diverse scale and massing and housing types in this area, that will actually help this block to better match the character of the neighborhood as a whole. One thing that nobody else has said yet, but I think is relevant, is that the city does have an officially declared housing emergency, and I think that you should weigh that into your decision. And I would urge you not only to approve this project, but if you're going to add any conditions to it, one condition you could add would be to ask the developer to increase the building size back up to 6 stories so that it could include those 14 to 17 units that were lost. Okay.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Kessler. I am a concerned citizen. So I've been here before to talk about this project. I we had a discussion about, at the time we were talking about the commissioner who lives across the street and decided to participate in the design advice review, and there's some ethics complaints filed over that. This was happening at the end of last year, the beginning of this year. This project has dragged out for 10 or 11 months, and to allow this process to have neighbors be able to throw a temper tantrum and delay the creation of affordable housing, which everybody on this panel has said, and everybody on this council has said that we desperately need, is contrary to our goals. I know there are lots of people all over the city who'd love to have this power, but they don't. There are only a few types of neighborhoods that get to really bring these, that have the resources to do it. And if historic preservation isn't going to continue to just be a tool of white supremacy, which is what it is in this case, we have to do something different. We can't entertain this nonsense. Going to Commissioner Udaly's comment earlier, whether there are any bonuses given, no, there's a bonus available, but BDS staff told the developers not to even come in at the 4-to-1 that's allowed by right. They didn't get anywhere near that affordable housing bonus that this council, these neighbors came to this council before and asked for that area to be downzoned, and you denied it because you have different priorities. So, but through this process, through the pressure from BDS, and then through the, you know, three different design advice review hearings, which stretched over months, I would love to know the professional fees involved in taking your architects and your lawyers through that entire process. That's all money that's going to the cost of affordable housing that we desperately say we need. I would hope that this council would take this opportunity, one, to censure the neighbors who are bringing this, and two, to remove this ridiculous fee waiver for appeals, because this behavior shouldn't be tolerated.
Thank you. Thanks, all three. Next three, please.
Next three, Laura Galina de Lovato, Julie Garver, Darren Gilbert. They'll be followed by Gregory D. Baker, Holly Balcom, and Laura, again, reading a letter from Stephen McMurtry.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity. My name is Laura Galina de Lovato. I'm the Executive Director at Northwest Pilot Project. For 49 years, Northwest Pilot Project has been helping low-income seniors get into housing or stay in housing. We would urge you, from that perspective of knowing how many seniors are being left struggling to find housing that they can afford to stay in and how many homeless seniors there are needing housing, we would encourage you to uphold the Historic Landmarks Commission approval of this project and deny the appeal. We also want to say that we have a long and strong partnership with Northwest Housing Alternatives, who has a track record of building and managing affordable housing and making the day-to-day lives of the people who we serve, low-income seniors, more pleasant, and gives them the ability to live independently for a longer period of time. This is, as someone earlier said, a high opportunity area. The location is ideal for seniors, and the unit sizes are also ideal. NHA is willing to go through and has demonstrated that they're going through lots of hoops and challenges to identify a project that's going to be visually appealing as well as provide affordable housing. And the Historic Landmarks Commission approved the design. Let's maximize the use of this lot for housing that will be available at affordable rates for our most valued citizens, our elders. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, welcome. Thank you, Board, for hearing my argument. My name is Darren Gilbert. I'm a student at Portland State University who is studying urban development. And since the beginning of this term, I've looked around the city of Portland on many different issues and sites that are being developed and are being sold to be developed. I have lived in Portland for over 20 years. I know the area that we were just speaking of, and I think affordable housing is definitely something we need. So one thing that I did hear today, though, was that we need to maybe put special conditions on this housing unit concerning to make sure that we have affordable housing for residents, because that is a big issue in this city. As a student who live on campus, I see a lot of the homeless problem, and it's a disgrace to our city. And I think if we had more affordable housing, that we could maybe take some of those people off the street. Thank you.
Thank you.
And is Julie Garver present?
Yeah.
All right. Next three, please. Gregory Baker, Holly Balcom, and then Laura back for Stephen McMurtry.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Afternoon, Councilman. Sir.
My name is Greg Baker. I'm the executive director of the Blanche House of Hospitality, an agency that's been very active in providing food services and a shelter for homeless people in Portland area for some 66 years. We don't always get asked to step forward and testify in this regard, but to have an opportunity to find housing for men that we graduate roughly about 150 men per year. About 10% of those guys are over 55 years of age. We have about 5% are people of color. And we need housing. We spend a great deal, an inordinate amount of money, to get people rehabilitated during the 7 months that they're at the Blanche House of Hospitality. To have the opportunity to find housing for them is very, very important to us. An average guy will spend a year to 2 years to get housing after they graduate from our program. So when we were invited to talk about this, we could not afford the opportunity to miss this. So we hope and encourage you to give great consideration to this. It would be very, very important to have a bridge available to our guys as they graduate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for your time. My name is Holly Balcom, and I'm just a concerned citizen here in support of the proposal, in the support of the project, in opposition to the appeal. I wanted to talk about the one that none of the fancy architects mentioned, which is the Northwest Towers, which is 335 Northwest 19th Street. It's two blocks away. It's a full 13 stories. This is an ugly building. It's white. It's 60s. It's got aluminum windows, but it provides Section 8 housing for mostly clients with disabilities. I wish we had 1,000 more of them in Portland. This project, the one at 17th and Hoyt, is not that. These guys have worked really hard to make this fit into the neighborhood, and the fact that this ugly white building is two blocks away and hasn't stopped the tourists from coming and hasn't stopped this from being a landmark neighborhood, and this is within the landmark area, means that something that so clearly meets and leaps over the barriers that have been set should be approved. And I just have to say, there's something ugly about a room full of people comfortably housed, denying much-needed housing for the sake of basically middle-class aesthetics. Please uphold the Historic Landmarks Commission's September approval of this project. If it's the neighborhood, which is defined by small apartment buildings like this, side-by-side with single-family homes. Thank you for consideration and your time.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello again. Laura Galino Delovato. I'm reading testimony from Stephen McMurtry. Hello, my name is Stephen McMurtry. I'm the former Housing Development Director at Northwest Housing Alternatives. I want to stress my full support of this project moving forward. From the beginning, NHA has put together a thoughtful and experienced team that has demonstrated a sensitivity to the design of the buildings within the context of the Alphabet District and its neighbors. As direct demonstration of this, NHA is committed to preserving and fully renovating the Buck Prager building, which as it stands now is rapidly deteriorating. It is my opinion that all three buildings making up the redevelopment of this important site in such a resource-rich area as the Alphabet District do an excellent job of directly complementing the adjacent dwellings in the community while reflecting the eclectic nature and the varied uses, shapes, and sizes of the buildings that make up the district as a whole. NHA has an unparalleled track record of conceptualizing and delivering on mission-based affordable housing developments that became permanent resources to the communities they serve throughout Oregon. They have selected a project team with decades of experience in preserving historic resources and the development of affordable housing in urban communities with a varied cast of community stakeholders. With that in mind, NHA and their team have presented a project that meets historic landmark guidelines while providing an affordable housing resource in a resource-rich neighborhood for decades to come. There is a housing crisis throughout our community, as evidenced and supported by the voters for the Metro Housing Bond and the passing of statewide Measure 102. The crisis is real, and this project makes a commitment to help alleviate some of this crisis while making itself a valued and complementary part of the Alphabet District. I thank you for your time and efforts and hope you will support NHA in moving forward with this development. Stephen McMurtry, currently the Director of Housing Development, Housing Authority, Clackamas County.
Thank you very much.
That's all.
Very good. All right. So the appellants each have 5 minutes for rebuttals, if they so choose. So first up is appellant number one, the Northwest District Association, if you would like to rebut anything.
I have this strange sense of deja vu.
5 minutes, please.
Can I wait until Sue? Can
you start, because I can start the timer, please.
Okay. Thank you. Jessica Richmond again for Northwest District Association. First, the definitions. New development occurs on a vacant site, and you have before you the definitions of new development, exterior alteration, and of site, and the definition of site is kind of long and complicated. I apologize, I wrote it. But it basically says a site is an ownership. So the site for this project is the full half block, which is under the ownership of one entity. And therefore, the North Building is an addition to that site, is an exterior alteration. It is not a vacant site. Second, the height, the image of the neighborhood at the end was very misleading. It showed a lot of non-existent full-grown trees obscuring some of the lower-rise development, and the height shown by the applicant were often of neighborhood buildings were often inaccurate, and also they compare buildings with sharply peaked roofs and church steeples to a flat-roofed building. In terms of mass, in terms of impact, in terms of design, those are very different things. There was a question about, oh, this project is saving the Buck Prager building. That's wonderful, and we are very happy. But what saved the Buck Prager building was this council's decision in 2015 to deny demolition. There really isn't a choice here for the applicant. The eastern edge includes much more than you've heard about from the applicant. And if you go back to the slides that we showed, see our slides for Community Design Guideline P1, you will see the full text of the characteristics of the eastern edge. There's also a difference between the characteristics of the district, which is rather large, and the districts and the character of our neighborhood, which is a small area with small buildings. It is not like the rest of the district, and that's why we have sub-districts within the Northwest Alphabet District. Finally, on the condition of approval that we've requested, because NHA are not owners of the land is part of our concern. They'll be leasing it on a 75-year lease. But we would be more than happy to be flexible. We only picked 60% of MFI because that's what they've been consistently saying. But if they can come up with language that basically gets us to the same place, that it's going to of an assurance that it will be affordable housing, we would fully support that. We also note that the Landmarks Commission, the language in the decision specifically says, I quote, approve 148 units of affordable housing. So we're just asking council to flesh, to implement that. And finally, there was talk about the length of the process and so on. There were three design advice requests for this proposal. Design advice requests are completely voluntary. It was the applicant that chose to go through those, though we appreciate that they did. And we also would note that until the final hearing, the Landmarks Commission was not reaching a consensus about the buildings, and that often the straw vote was 3-3 or some other proportions. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
I have a question. Commissioner Saltzman, then Commissioner Fritz.
You know, perhaps I should ask this of staff, but since you're almost like
staff.
I'll ask you, and you are representing the neighborhood. And I thought Mr. Schwartz gave a fantastic quote from Art DeMuro.
Yes.
Former member, chair of Landmarks Commission.
And an amazing man.
An amazing man. About being basically content blind in these decisions.
Yes.
So to me, as long as the building, you know, fits the criteria, why should we even be debating, and it's a residential use, which is, you know, you got to be consistent with the zoning. Why should we even be debating the affordable? I mean, the affordable is nice, and we all want it, but I don't see it as being really, in the scheme of things, if I'm listening to what Art DeMuro said, and I listened to him a lot over the years,
Me too.
We should be content blind.
I agree, but I think the key word there is should. That it should be, we should be blind to the content, but the reality is that we're human, and that there is a dire housing shortage for affordable housing, and that we can't help but be affected by that. We've all talked about how ironic it is that we find ourselves opposing an affordable housing project. We know that it affected the Landmarks Commission because it pervaded their discussion, and it's reflected in their written decision. We know it's affected us, and we don't expect council to ignore that factor either. And we think that in all three of our cases, it makes us a little bit less critical of this proposal because we want so much for affordable housing to happen. But by the same token, we don't want to be generous and then something else comes in. Maybe not bigger apartments, but ones that rent for a lot more. And so the condition should, in fact, be harmless to NHA. It should, as I said earlier, they're not in the business of market rate housing. And so we would like to work with them to craft a condition that will work for them, but that also assures us that it's affordable.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
I'm glad you went first because that gave me time to look up the code. And thank you, Ms. Richman, for the appeal. Because you're correct, it does say in the Historic Landmarks Commission's decision it's approved for affordable housing, and then you very helpfully put in the definition from 301030.B regarding what does that mean in city code. Yeah. So I think it would be helpful in this case if we could get a condition, which, I, as Commissioner Daly said, I believe is necessary for that adjustment, that would say what is meant by that. So thank you.
Anything very else? Good. Appellant number two, Mr. Schwartz, if you'd like
thank
to
you. Thank you, Mayor.
Come up. Thank you.
I'm going to see if I can plug this in with help with a clerk. I was going to plug in my USB. I know that there was a little bit of confusion last time to get it up and running. Thank you. Somebody's got panic at the disco up. Is that mine? That's not mine.
Thank you again, Mayor, Commissioners. I appreciate the time. I just wanted to quickly engage in some rebuttal with regard to the applicant's presentation and also show some additional pictures from a different submission that's in the record. The top photo is south on 18th, heading south. And you can see the Buck Prager to the left-hand side, and you can see the 1940 Green apartments that are slated for demolition on the left-hand side as well. The Lutheran Church with Rose Haven, the day shelter for homeless and abused women, is right to the right where the first car is, and that's just about 150 feet away or so from Northwest Irving and all the houses on that. I show that just to provide you context. This is Irving from the east side heading north. Just so you know, the north building will be on the left-hand side of the photo. Those trees on the left-hand side of Irving will be taken down, and hopefully there'll be some tree abatement. But that was some discussion. I think that's still up in the air. The landmark units are on the right-hand side, and you can see that that is a 30-foot wide street, and I just present that to you so you get somewhat of a context of how narrow Irving is in relation to the 60-foot building that's slated to be put right where those trees are, about 6 feet in from the right-of-way, well, from the road. This is another photo from the from the east to the west on Irving. That's the EG1 building that was referenced both by the applicant and BDS staff. And again, the 60-foot north building will be just to the west of that on the left-hand side of the photo. You can see the trees up here that will be slated for demolition. And that's where the project is, which is on the west side of the unit. And again, another photo with the historic landmarks on the right-hand side and the EDG1 on the left-hand side. So I just wanted to present those photos for you just so you can get a little bit of better context when you're evaluating some of the photos that were presented by the applicant, particularly the north building, which I would argue does not meet the criteria, particularly with regard to D7 and the hierarchy of compatibility. I would say I'm always concerned when individuals talk about, well, we went big and then we came down. To me, as a lawyer, I always regard that as sort of a negotiation tactic, start high and sort of whittle down. So I would disregard some of that comment, which is that they initially had a six-story building, but heck, they took off some of it, and therefore this is great. I would say look to their photo, which is referenced in the record of August 10th, 2018. That is the final north building design. Again, put that in reference to the photos that I just put up. There's no doubt that there are 5 to 6 story buildings, as Commissioner Udaly and lots of other people have talked about throughout this district. There is no doubt that that's true at all. I would say with regard to the 2015 findings, this body stated that the majority of 4 to 6 story multi-dwelling buildings in the district have deep and well-defined landscape courtyards. This program does not have a deep and well-defined landscape courtyard. All the other buildings that have been presented by individuals like the Worthington or the Wickersham, the American Apartments, they really do have deep courtyards, and it really breaks up the massing. Just for your edification. With regard to the appeal criteria, approval criteria, there was some discussion about how the appeals presented by myself and NWDA talk about how the south and north buildings were overwhelmed, the Buck Prager. That's not entirely true. Our contention is that there should have been analysis about how it would overwhelm the landmark structures surrounding the site. Again, plenty of context throughout the district for a similar size building. I get that. I understand that. There is no other context in the state of Oregon for this site with 13 individually listed landmarks surrounding the site, which is really support for the 2015 findings in which you said that a 46 replacement building was too big. It's because the site itself is so unique, and it is unique. It's one of a kind and the only kind in Oregon. I would say that, you know, there was a lot of discussion about the approval criteria from the applicant, its lawyer, and NHA's new director. Again, it's not, that's in a vacuum. You have to think about the 2015 decision, which I've already discussed.
There was some discussion about how the approval criteria in 2015 was totally different than used in this matter. That's not true. In 2015, the city government looked at the comprehensive plan, the Northwest District Plan, and the Alphabet Historic District Plan. And with regard to the Northwest District Plan, that informs the community design guidelines of P1. So there was a lot of overlay between the 2015 discussion and the discussion before Portland Historic Landmarks Commission. Again, I put that out there because to me, that is where I come down from, which is there should have been, to me, a fairness aspect. I want you to know quickly, at the final land use decision before Landmarks, there were 44 submissions in opposition to the program and 26 submissions in support. Look, there's a lot of people on both sides that have strong opinions. I get that. I can certainly see how Landmarks went, but many people do have reservations about the project. I ask is that you take due care and consideration with regard to this program. Thank you, Mayor.
Very well. Thank you, sir. Thank you, everybody, for your testimony. Unless there's any objection, this will be the end of the public participation portion of this on-the-record hearing.
Could I get an they were going to come back with a...
Oh, yeah. The council can still ask questions, have deliberations,
but
whatever you'd like.
The applicant was going to come back with a suggested condition of approval that they could live with, which I would much prefer than trying to make one up myself.
If they so choose.
If they so choose. And to be clear, I'm not asking you to do anything that you don't normally do. So I just wanted to try to define what you normally do, because what you normally do is really good. I just don't want anybody else to come in and use this property for something else.
Could I ask a question of legal counsel while they're setting up? So we've heard testimony with regard to the use of the facility. And the testimony that we've received suggests that that issue is on the table because of the actual findings of the Historic Landmarks Commission. Is that accurate?
The applicant is an affordable housing provider. I think that you can see in the way that the application was provided, was approved, that they do discuss it as affordable housing. I believe what Commissioner Fritz was referring to in the findings was the adjustment for the loading dock was based on the assumption that because the units are smaller, they won't need as wide of a loading dock. BDS can speak to what PBOT staff specifically said, which they just talk about the size of the units, not whether or not the price point of the units. But I guess I'm not sure what your question, if your question is whether or not we can talk about whether or not they're affordable, yes. If your question is, does that give us a nexus to impose a condition, I think my advice would be no. The council's authority to impose conditions is based on the applicable approval criteria. So whether or not a finding mentioned the project that was proposed by the applicant as including affordable housing, that's still not the applicable approval criteria.
Okay, that clarifies my question, because my question was related to issue number two that you just raised. Sorry, go ahead.
That was actually a helpful lead-in. We would agree with that analysis. And, you know, we do understand the concern about maintaining affordability at this project, but I can't advise my client to voluntarily agree to any additional restrictions on the development, which will, as Charles discussed earlier, make it harder to fund. With respect to the size of the units, Trell and maybe Michelle can actually address this a little bit more, but it is, if assuming the design is approved, the shell of the building is set, and it really isn't, it's just, you couldn't just switch out the inside to move from studio apartments to family-sized apartments without a lot of work.
Why not?
That's probably a question for an architect.
No, just a matter of whether you put the second set of plumbing in and have a door through or not.
Well, for one thing, if the exterior is set, all the windows are set in a specific place, it's not so easy just to put walls wherever you want.
No, you just remove the wall is what the concern is, that instead of having three studio apartments, you have connecting doors through interior, and so suddenly you've got a three-bedroom apartment.
Is it possible? Yes. It is difficult to do when you have a site like this where everything is so tight and decided already. Can I tell you that it absolutely could not happen? No, I can't.
The concern is that I don't think the site... I like the design. Let me be very clear. I like the design. I want to approve this development. I am concerned about the adjustment for the loading zone, and this is consistent with my 10 years on the council. I think that we get into problems when we don't have places for people to load and unload their stuff. So I'm concerned about that. I was prepared to approve the adjustment based on they're going to be either studio apartment. Either they're going to be if they have to be studios, then they have to be studios. Maybe it's a condition that says they have to be studios, since you're saying it's going to be difficult to change that anyway. Then at least they would be relatively affordable, even if they were market rate. My concern is, as Commissioner Udaly said, consolidating units and having people with their full dining room set and their grand piano.
I mean, I don't know how to address that other than there's the intention of this client and this design team that the proposal that we've shown you today is the proposal that's going forward. Is there a chance that ours doesn't go forward and someone else buys the site or something else? I don't know how to play out all the hypotheticals that you're laying out here, but is we are working on a pro forma and looking at funding based on only studio units. That is the intention. That has never been looking at anything else. I think, you know, our concern with the covenant is based on it's already very, very difficult to provide affordable housing, and so to put anything else tied to this project makes lenders very uneasy. And quite frankly, we need as much flexibility as possible in talking to as many lenders as possible to get projects funded.
So as the decision currently says that it's for affordable housing, and it refers in the modification, the adjustment criteria to the studios and the seniors, etc. And then the appeal pointed out that the city's definition of affordable housing is at 80% of median family income, and the neighborhood, the appellants were asking for 60. So is 80%, you said that you don't have any projects that are providing housing at greater than 80%. Is that correct?
That's right.
So that's something that is de facto in the decision.
I would note that the decision also notes that the type of housing proposed, the amount of parking, here I'm quoting page 5, the type of housing proposed, the amount of parking and density are not relevant to the applicable historic resource review criteria. So As we read the decision and the deliberations and all of that, the references to affordable housing were just a
No, I agree with that. I'm talking about the adjustment request, not the historic criteria.
Do we want to?
I mean, I think it's worth saying, and certainly this is a concern, and I respect this concern, but it is worth saying that projects, the multifamily projects, get this adjustment. There are projects within the Alphabet District that have gotten this adjustment that are mixed unit buildings. And again, like, if this is a concern for you, I understand that, but this is not out of keeping with what other projects, multifamily projects, are getting allowed by PBOT.
I'm prepared to make a motion.
Commissioner Saltzman?
I would move to uphold the Landmarks Commission decision.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion?
Can we request to make tentative findings? And
That's what I was going to say.
That's
but
her
this
job.
Is yes, this is a tentative vote, and we'll talk after the vote about when council would come back to adopt the final findings. Yeah.
Do we have an opportunity to bring staff back up? I did have a question for
BDS. Yeah, we have a motion on the table. Yeah. We have plenty of time to bring up staff. All right. Thank you.
We're probably going to run out the clock too, right? Because the current extension
I believe it's December 30th or December 31st.
So I don't think we can do it. Does it go into effect immediately after the council votes next time?
Does the decision go into effect?
Yes. Or is that the usual 30-day waiting?
Oh, it would be an approved land use decision, and then the parties have 21 days to appeal it to LUBA.
Thank you.
Was it Commissioner Udaly?
Yes, thank you. So I'm just hoping to understand the question about zoning. It was stated earlier that BDS staff discourage the developer from trying to develop to the full height allowed by the zoning on this lot. Would you say that's a fair characterization?
I would say that there